Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
1.9 Trillion US Dollars, it's one of the biggest rescue plans ever in history. For many people, it's urgently needed, but others are afraid of inflation and too much debt. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Edinem Boumidi, he's the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, so good to see you.
Hello, guys.
Peter, some people say the US will come out of this pandemic much stronger because there was so much money involved. We are talking about trillions of dollars. What do you think? Is it a good thing or are they things like inflation and debt?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
So, you know what? I think it's important to note, look, I think this was a disaster relief very much needed. It's become a bit of a political topic. Obviously, the Republicans, no one voted for it, even though 76% of the American population was in favor of it. So I think that's unfortunately a part of it. But it's clear this is a, I was listening to some news last night, because whenever you do these stimulus packages, there's a lot of moving parts, whether there's anything to do with infrastructure, whether there's anything to do with credits for children, how much of it is the $1,400 check each individuals were given, how much of it's the support for small business. There is no question that the U.S. economy, not the market, needs disaster relief, right? Very few people are back to work. Very few people don't even know if they will have a job when they come back. Many small businesses have closed for good. Many small businesses will not be able to exist on a 25 to 35% capacity, right? How long will it be till we get on a plane again, we go to a movie theater again, we go back to a sporting event, right? So these are the nooks and crannies of the economy. So I'm a firm believer that right now we need to put aside the normal economic procedural rules about inflation, reflation, recession, depression. All those things are meaningless at the moment, because we are working in triage mode. We are still in the midst of a pandemic. 2,000 plus people are dying a day. We are trying to get the vaccine out so that we can get some semblance of our lives back and restart the economy. So I think right now we need not worry about how we're going to pay for this down the road. And I know that may not be a popular opinion, but I see that even though we're watching the market trading at record highs, it's doing that for a reason not connected to the economy. And I really need the economy in the U.S. The consumer needs to go back to being a robust entity, right? Bank balance sheets are fine, but the economy, the individuals, the unemployment rate, the small businesses are struggling. That's what this is going to pay for, I hope.
Peter, good point. Another point from my side is, if I looked on food prices year-to-date basis, I can see huge increase in food prices, which is of course driving off also inflation. Pellet pork or sugar, corn, also other commodities are driving up. I'm concerned about, you know, social problems. If you look on the world in this time, if food prices are going higher and the government spending is outreaching, so there's no money maybe to subsidize people's food, could you see if this is going further, could we see some problems, social problems in the world if food prices are still rising?
So look, I'm not an economist, and I was trying to read up on the real inside story on inflation. And obviously inflation means raising in commodity prices that we use on a regular basis as a consumer. And that fear is that people will not be able to keep up with that. But let's just be clear about what we've just gone through and are still in the middle of. There's no doubt that there's a limited supply of so many commodities. A lot of these businesses have not been running on smooth. The supplies are at a minimum, right? And we're going to have prices go higher. You know, I think we're going to have to spend our way out of this situation and support the economy in every possible way we can. There's no playbook for this, Salah, yeah. Right? This is not a normal financial crisis, right? This is a world global pandemic with businesses and economies that have been shut down for almost a year. We don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know how many more stimulus packages there's going to be. It's clear that commodity prices are going to go up. That's the nature of what's going on. We have not had the engine of production on so many of these things. Commodities per se, their costs, their lack of supply are obviously going to make prices go up. And yes, it's going to be inflationary. But I think we're going to have to spend our way out of it. And I know that may be an immature thought process on my part because I'm not an economist. But right now, it doesn't seem like normal standards of economic policy can be addressed in this situation. I don't see a playbook for this that we've ever had to deal with. What do you think about it? You're more of an economist than me.
Yeah, I mean, I share what you say, saying, like, that I see, of course, some concern that commodity prices will still go up. I mean, this is, we don't have a chart book, a playbook for that. You're absolutely right. But we have seen in history that in those times where we have seen a surge or an increase of food prices, that this brings uncertainty. And my concern is we are still in a pandemic and we never had this time before. And if we get additional increasing food prices, this could be something where I will critically observe the markets. What can happen if can be an impact in the future through this observation, actually.
Okay, so I'm understanding what you're saying. Your fear is social unrest, right? Give me a
correct. That's correct. Correct.
Okay, then let's look at what happened over the last 4 months in the United States. I don't know what's going on in Europe, but we've seen an unprecedented group of our population enter the poverty zone. We are seeing people who have food insecurity en masse, whether it's in Texas, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in the Midwest, still, right? Not as a function of rising food prices, just as a function of the pandemic, right? So I agree with you. If we have food lines, right? If you saw, I'm sure you saw in the news, there were places in Texas where people were waiting around the clock to pick up food, people who never before had food insecurity. There are tens of millions of people who have not been to work since March, right? Who may not have a job to go back to. So I think that we are still in triage mode relative to supporting the economy and those who have been underserved and are in deep economic and food insecurity, right? Yes, there's going to be social unrest. People are going to be pounding on the doors because even when we go back to work, the rollout, the recovery, the reopening story is not going to by any stretch be a smooth one, right? We don't know what the future is going to bring. Our president yesterday said, hopefully by July 4th, we'll be able to have a barbecue with our family, but by no means be able to travel in large groups, right? When will the farms start churning again? When will people start going back to business? This disaster relief may be one of many. As I said, you know, we're going to be printing money for a while. We are going to enter inflationary mode. How is this going to affect the economy? You know better than me what inflation does historically. But as I said once again, I don't think we've ever seen this before. We talked about it over the last year with Manuel. The health crisis mixed with an economic crisis, mixed with a financial crisis, is a playbook we don't have. So while the market has been strong and robust, benefiting the 1%. The majority of population worldwide are still underserved, underbanked, in crisis, unemployed, hungry, food insecure, searching for a vaccine. So, you know, you may be right. We may have not seen the worst of the social implications of what we've lived through for the last year. When the money runs out, when the stimulus stops coming and people are not comfortable, or businesses haven't reopened, or they're not back to work, we may see a lot of social unrest. You are probably right.
Peter, you know, we don't know how the future will be, but there are some signs of a kind of a recovery. For example, the airlines are already activating their pilots for the second half of the year. So do you think that because of quick vaccinations, and you guys are doing a much better job than, for example, Germany, do you see in the second half of the year a quick recovery going back to normal? And does that mean that the stock markets are going even higher?
So once again, we've talked about the bifurcation between the economy and the virus, volatility, vaccine and virus. Look, I surely believe that the market, once things start to get back to normal, the market will get once again a big surge. As you know, this is like a slingshot, right? People have been sheltered in place, have been waiting. There's obviously a group of the population that has some disposable income. Once we are given the green light to get back on planes, on cruise ships, go to a sports arena, go to a movie theater again, I think the market will once again get another surge. My fear is, and I have no fear for the market right now. I don't think this is a bubble. The market does what it wants to do. It tells us what it thinks of what's going on. You know, the market, incredibly enough, in the light of a complete global economic shutdown, is trading at record highs. We've talked about it, you, the three of us, for a while. And it's doing what it's doing due to stimulus, due to the federal, the appetite of the investment community. It's being boistered up by people with money, in my opinion, right? People who are struggling are not buying the market. So I'm curious how long it will take till the world. I was watching last night about, so the U.S. is doing better on the vaccine. No question about it. Under the new administration. And where our hope is that maybe by Thanksgiving, we'll get some semblance of normalcy. Hopefully, the president said in his first press conference that we have family members, but that, as we know, won't be back until 2022. How is that going to view in the world, right? You guys are not firing on all pistons relative to the vaccine. There are countries around the world who don't have access to the vaccine, who are not financially healthy enough to support and produce and distribute vaccines. This is a global pandemic. So when will travel be able to be get back to normal? I'm not sure about that. The logistics of herd immunity and vaccinating the world, our president said yesterday, once we've gotten a handle on vaccinating the U.S. population, that we are going to be aggressively trying to help to vaccinate the rest of the world. What a beautiful concept and what a beautiful thought. Surely something that our last president wouldn't be concerned with. So I'm happy about that. How long will it take before the economy gets back and going? I have no idea. Am I confident that the stock market is going to continue to go higher, right? In the light of the light at the end of the tunnel, I surely believe that, because it's still trading at great value, high valuations, in the light of what's going on and all the obstacles and all the headwinds. Can you imagine once people get the green light to get on a plane again, to take a cruise ship, to go to the casinos, to go to a movie, to go see a football game. Well, this is going to be like a slingshot boom that people are going to just come running out of their house, screaming and yelling, and going and spending money, going to restaurants. And this is going to completely catalyze the economy and the markets and give some recovery to. So I have a positive outlook on the market going forward. I have a positive outlook on the world. I have a less positive outlook on how long it will take for the economy to recover. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. We are in a lot better situation than we were 6 months ago. I am hoping that the world can get back on good foot.
Peter, the German DAX marked a new all-time high this week, while Nasdaq is still continuing his upwards movements. We see since mid-February, so since last month, in the top, Nasdaq lost more than 10%. But interestingly, for those who are technical analysts, who love technical analysis, you've seen that this trend continuation moved forward as we crossed the moving averages from the really short-term moving average, like the 20-day moving average, further to the 50, and now we stopped last week on Friday on the 100 moving average, trying to get a new reversal, which is maybe a short-term reversal, but I see a really important support line based on moving averages, which is close at 11,800. This is a 200 moving average. So if we continue this trend, I can see in my horizon, in my technical horizon, that the 11,800 is a really important support level, which does not mean directly that Nasdaq is still in a horrible crash situation whenever. It's still a trend, a positive long-term trend. But on short, I can see more downside pressure on the Nasdaq. What do you think?
Really? So, you know, it's fascinating to watch the divergence between the Dow and the Nasdaq. It's fascinating to watch. This market is, the volatility is only, you know, I thought we had seen this of volatility, you and me, over the last year. But I, you know, what we've noticed over the last few weeks, when they start hitting the sell button, when we start breaking down below support, and you're talking about the 15, the 50 down to the 200, I saw it in the S&P last week. I actually reached out to David Green. We were trading some of the market, and we were trading the S&P, and I was trying to find where is the support, right? And we had a position on that was a long position, and the market kept going down and down. It was being dragged by the NASDAQ itself, which obviously has big exposure within the S&P 500. And what's amazing about moving averages and technical analysis is that the market does not guarantee it's going to hit up against every support and change direction. It's going to go down, and we, as you know, and you are in MasterTech, as is David Green, that you know that it hits support. If it breaks, that's why we use risk management, money management, and stop orders, because there is no guarantee that it's not going to break through support. Depending on the momentum, we saw it break through the 50 and then down, but it didn't break through the 200, right?
Right.
Right. The S&P got down there and turned around. So the rotation in NASDAQ, think about where NASDAQ is. Where are we? We are in celestial territory. We are in space, right? The NASDAQ has been the leader of the market, right? These stocks are trading at astronomical valuations, right? The thirst and the appetite for tech is just incredible at the moment, right? So when you see profit taking, when you see out of the outperformers and into the underperformers, it's just rotation. But with the volatility and with the highs that we're coming from, when that rotation occurs, we're seeing, look at the relative strength index, we're seeing some high oversold modes, right, in these stocks, right? Normally, when you would have a retracement, consolidation, sell-off, you would have them would be when like they are. You're seeing fast and furious sell-offs breaking through very often the 50, the 100, and down to the 200 before you find support. Is there more downside on the NASDAQ? It's possible. Do I really feel the market is a bubble per se? No. Am I seeing an incredible fusia? If we look historically, have every one of these sell-offs been a buying opportunity, as you always say? In fact, they have. It's just the mastery of technical analysis. Let's go back to GameStop. Let's go back to some of these small stocks that are making 20, 30% moves intraday, right? We looked at Labu. David Green brought Labu up the other day, the biotech index, which had gone from 183 to 71. What's such an amazing thing about technical analysis, and I will throw in a high point for the Wall Street Global Trading Academy and Salah and David Green, is that when stocks are coming down, if you don't have the tools to know when to be patient and wait for it to come to you where the support is, you may end up buying things at just because they're cut in half. Stocks, just because they're being cut in half, does not mean it's time to buy. We always joke here on Wall Street, it's like catching a falling knife. You need to know the technicals of where the support is within the moving averages, right? And where you're going to see a market remove. Labu, for instance, the biotech index, went from 183 to 7150. And I know that the immature trader would have, who's involved in that index, would have thought, you know what, at 130, it can't go lower. At 90, it can't go lower. But David Green was actually able to see that the 200 moving average, day moving average, was at 71.50. After a full 50% cut, 62% cut, it got down to 71.39, exactly at his level, and it went back up $30. So I beg everybody watching this, trading this market, these moves are wild and furious, right? The downside is ruthless. It's not for the faint of heart. But if you use the Bumidi bands, if you use technical analysis, when things start to sell off, as long as the market's going up, everybody's a rock star. But when things start to break down, I've seen a huge break in tech over the last few weeks. You need to be patient. You need to read your charts and your graphs. And you need to double down on the buy side when they get to levels of support, right?
Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, and Salah Edine Boumidi, the head of markets at IG. Was great talking to you in this week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Manuel.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thank you for watching. See you next time.